This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, June 5th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, an in-depth report on yesterday's conviction of political fundraiser Tony Rezko. We'll also get a forecast from meteorologist Ed Kieser first today's news. U.S. Attorney Patrick Fitzgerald says citizens of Illinois should feel vindicated by the jury's verdict yesterday in the Tony Rezko fraud trial. Tony Arnold reports.
After the verdict, Fitzgerald emphasized to the press,
"We're obviously serious about pursuing corruption."
The top federal prosecutor in Northern Illinois praised the jury for its mostly guilty verdict in the fraud case against Rezko. But there's still the issue of sentencing to hash out, and part of that depends on what prosecutors recommend. Fitzgerald says his office hasn't calculated any kind of sentencing guidelines yet, but it's ultimately up to the judge.
Obviously, when he's convicted of 16 counts, there's lots of exposure by how many years he could face in jail.
Fitzgerald wouldn't comment on what would happen to Rezko's sentence if he were to cooperate with the government. Sentencing is scheduled for September 3rd. I'm Tony Arnold.
Jay Stewart heads Illinois' Better Government Association, and he calls the verdict yesterday a huge victory for the government.
The bottom line is, when you're a defendant, you need to win on every single count, and he lost on 16 of them. They accused Rezko of creating a scheme to attempt to shake people down to get various state approvals. And, at the end of the day, they didn't prove every single count, but they proved most of them.
Robert Wildebohr has been covering the trial for the last month or so. He'll have an updated report on the proceedings yesterday. Some streets and roads are starting to reopen in central Illinois after they were hit by this week's heavy rains, but the rain and the problems may not be over. Chuck Black is a fire captain in Villa Grove, where the swollen Embraugh River has left Route 130 and other city streets underwater. He worries that things could get worse with more rain and drainage from elsewhere.
With all the rainfall and moisture, everything's flowing down from the north. So, who knows how much water we're going to look at by the time this is done.
Black says firefighters' main concern is to keep people and cars out of flooded areas. However, Main Street in Sydney and Urbana's Vine Street Viaduct have both reopened. Still, Sangamon River levels continue to rise, and Lake Decatur has been closed to boaters and swimmers, and a shelter is in place for people in the Argenta area of Macon County, where homes are affected by high water. The recent heavy storms are increasing the danger of flooding. Darren Hansing is a hydrologist with the National Weather Service in Lincoln, and he says the Sangamon and Illinois rivers will continue to rise for the next 2 days. He says people living along those rivers should closely watch the rising water levels.
The Sangamon River in Monticello continues to rise. It's already above its moderate flood stage of 17 feet and continues to rise steadily. That's really the most threatening location at this time along the Sangamon River.
Hansing says further downstream, the Sangamon is expected to reach flood stage at Petersburg and Riverton, and he says the river will probably go above moderate flood stage at Chandlerville. The Champaign School Board has approved an agreement with the City of Champaign that cements its participation in an ambitious program to help young people in the Garden Hills neighborhood. AM 580's Jim Meadows reports.
The program is called Operation Hope in Garden Hills, and it's a joint venture of the Champaign School District, the City of Champaign, and the Champaign Park District. Over the next 12 months, they'll be providing programs for young people in a neighborhood that saw rising levels of youth crime and violence last year. The agreement approved by the school board last night lays out the school district's role in the program. School board member Greg Novak says that includes the use of Garden Hills Elementary School.
So what Unit 4 will be doing is providing facilities primarily. The park district will be providing staff, and the city is providing some support and, funding for different projects. I mean, we're looking at really working everything from pre-K up through high school if you go through the different components of the plan.
Operation Hope gets underway next week with a summer day camp program at Garden Hills School for kindergarten through middle school children. Meanwhile, twice monthly family recreation nights begin June 12th at Garden Hills Park. More programs for middle and high school youth begin in the fall. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Yesterday marked the end of a long and arduous road for one man who used an alternative to jail to upright his life. Vermilion County has one of 30 drug courts in Illinois. Nonviolent offenders who are caught under the influence or in pursuit of drugs can participate in drug court rather than go to jail, as long as they live up to the rules. And yesterday, Prairie Center Development Director Betty Seidel says one of the program's 6 to 7 participants cleared those hurdles.
He's clean. He hasn't reoffended. He's meeting his other social goals and educational goals and meeting with probation on a regular basis. He has clean drug tests.
Drug Court uses social, educational, and work programs to rehabilitate offenders. A team of experts sets goals for each offender, and once they meet those goals, they're eligible to graduate. In Vermilion County, 75% of the rehabilitated haven't offended again, and Seidel calls that number phenomenal. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. Tony Rezko is now in jail. He's the political fundraiser with ties to many Illinois politicians, including U.S. Senator Barack Obama and Governor Rod Blagojevich. Yesterday, after spending more than 3 months on the case, a jury found that Rezko corrupted state government. They convicted him of wire and mail fraud, money laundering, and bribery. Illinois Public Radio's Robert Wildebor has been covering the trial, and he reports.
Rezko's normally animated defense attorney, Joe Duffy, had very little to say yesterday afternoon as he left court.
We are obviously very disappointed in the jury's verdict today. We strongly believe in Mr. Rezko's innocence, as does he. And it's our intention to pursue certain matters in post-trial motions as well as to file an appeal.
The only other thing Duffy said was that Rezko decided he wanted to go to jail and start serving his sentence immediately, which he did yesterday afternoon. This trial provided an inside look at how crooked players in Illinois can turn money into power, and power into even more money. In their closing arguments, prosecutors told jurors that Rezko had given them a lesson in clout. U.S. Attorney Patrick Fitzgerald says after this trial, people might think twice before engaging in so-called pay-to-play politics.
I'm hoping that this verdict by this jury sends a message that if you don't have the morals to stop, you ought to have the fear to do so.
One of the highlights of this trial was actually a lowlight of sorts, the government's main witness, Stuart Levine. He was an admitted con man, thief, and drug user. Rezko's defense attorneys repeatedly attacked Levine's credibility and made that the centerpiece of their defense. Duffy told jurors Levine's testimony was a pretty shaky foundation upon which to convict. After the verdict, some of the jurors agreed to speak to the media, and we got to find out what they thought. One said she didn't really believe Levine and felt he played games with the jury. But Mona Lisa Morissette said they didn't write him off completely.
Where Levine was involved, we put it in consideration with everything else. If there were emails involved or if there was the wiretapping involved, we put it all together. So we weren't just basing it on just his testimony in those counts where we found guilty.
That's pretty much a direct quote from prosecutors' opening statement. They said jurors would have to look at the big picture and put the evidence together. And according to Susan Lopez, that's exactly what they did when they started deliberating 3 weeks ago.
We read the indictment. We read the jury instructions many times. We had definitions of what some of the terminologies, what does it mean to know something on the wall, so that we had some visuals. You have to piece this together. It was a puzzle. It was a very complicated puzzle.
Lopez says the jury wasn't distracted by the big political names that were dropped during the trial, including Blagojevich and Obama. Obama and Rezko have a long history, and in the fall campaign, Republicans are sure to tie the presidential candidate to the now-convicted fundraiser. But the senator's name came up only a couple times during the trial, and even then, only in passing. Not so for Blagojevich.
His name just hasn't come up in sort of some innocent context as someone who once got a campaign contribution from Tony Rezko.
Jay Stewart is with a watchdog group called the Better Government Association. He points out that three witnesses testified in this case that the governor was trading state jobs and contracts for campaign contributions. Perhaps the most damning anecdote came from a witness named Aliotta, who said he gave Rezko a $25,000 check for the governor. Then Rezko walked him into a conference room and put the check down in front of Blagojevich. Otta told jurors that the governor immediately gave Rezko the okay to offer Otta a job. Stewart says Rezko's conviction shows that the jury believed that testimony, and he thinks prosecutors are going to run with that.
If they get convictions, they keep moving up the ladder. Well, there's not a whole lot more above the ladder of Tony Rezko other than Governor Blagojevich. You know, I don't know where the feds are going to go, but if the past is a template for the future, it's going to get closer to the governor rather than further away.
The governor has repeatedly denied the allegations that were made in court. He called Otta's story about the $25,000 check absurd. He said that's not how he does business. Last night, after the verdict, he read a statement to reporters.
Thanks for coming. It's nice to see you. I have a brief statement. Tony Resco is a friend and was a supporter. On a personal level, I am deeply sad for what's happened to Tony. I am profoundly sad for his children and for his wife, Rita.
The governor went on to say that he will continue to wake up every single day to work as hard as he can for the people. When he finished his remarks, he left the room. Reporters shouted questions, but Blagojevich didn't answer. He said he had to get back to work on solving the state's $2 billion budget deficit. Resco's got his own problems to solve. Facing substantial prison time on this conviction, as well as another criminal case that's getting ready to go to trial, he's got to have at least considered cooperating with the government. U.S. Attorney Patrick Fitzgerald wouldn't say much about that possibility.
Any defendant has the opportunity to seek to cooperate, and that's a decision under the law they make, not me.
If Resco does want to cooperate, the clock's ticking. It's a bit of a race to the finish line, as several other people have been indicted in this investigation. And if they give up the goods, then Resco's testimony might not be as valuable. I'm Robert Wildeboer.
The risk of severe weather will return tomorrow after a very hot day today across Illinois and Indiana. Our forecast for meteorologist Ed Kieser: in the north, mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms early today, then partly to mostly sunny. In central sections, a few scattered showers followed by mostly sunny, hot and windy conditions. And in the south, just heat and sunshine. Highs today ranging from 84 in far northwest Illinois to 94 in the south. For tonight, cloudy in northwest Illinois with a chance of thunderstorms after midnight. Elsewhere, just partly cloudy, breezy and mild. Lows tonight between 69 and 74 across the two states. Today's high in Champaign-Urbana, 92 degrees, 72 tonight. Then for tomorrow, it will be sunny early in the Champaign-Urbana area, followed by increasing cloudiness and a chance of afternoon thunderstorms with a high of around 90. In northern and west central Illinois tomorrow, cloudy with showers and thunderstorms. Elsewhere in the state and in northern and western Indiana, increasing clouds, showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon, with some sunshine still in eastern Indiana. Highs from 80 in far northwest Illinois to 94 in the far south. Saturday's outlook: after a rainy night on Friday night, intervals of clouds and sun for the first day of the weekend, some showers and thunderstorms, and a high of 85. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, June 5th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.